This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
We, all the way up through November, are going through the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be going through verses 15 through 29 today. I'm joined by my friend and one of our elders at Woodland Hills, Travis Bronner. Help me welcome Travis Bronner. But we've got to jump right into it. We're praying that prayer from the movie The Patriot. Lord, make us fast and accurate. We got 25 minutes. So we're talking today about the supremacy of Christ. And it actually goes throughout the whole book of Colossians. Chapter 1, we get this rich theology, and you start to pick Paul's tone up a little bit in chapter 1, where he's needing to address false teaching that's coming against the church. You really get that in chapter 2, where we'll pick up next week, where we get strong warning. And as is the pattern of Paul's writing, chapters 1 and 2 deal with theology. Chapters 3 and 4, we get into the application. And so today we're going to hit a lot of topics from Colossians, but we're talking about the supremacy of Christ over all. And in these times where we're being tested as a nation, as a family, as a church, a lot going on. We got our gatherings are interrupted. We have travel plans interrupted. Many people are dealing with a lot of stress at work. We have many unemployed among us wondering what the next step for their lives is going to be. We're dealing with rioting, disrespect for authority, the lawlessness. We're dealing with fires out west. It looks as though another hurricane is headed toward the Gulf Coast. What do we do in all of these times when we're stripped? And that's why we're focusing. When we're stripped of all of, and you're going to talk about everything we're stripped from, how do we deal with that? And today we're going to see that with the supremacy of Christ.
Yeah, and I love what you said, Ted, that when we talk about Christ overall, he laid the foundations of the earth, the foundation of my faith, and the foundation of the church. And that's key in what we're talking about today, is Christ over the head of our church. And 2020 has been difficult for so many of us in so many ways, like you said. And when I think of 2020, I get this picture in my head. And how many of you can relate to this picture in 2020, right? This, of course, the picture of a house that's been ripped by a storm, a tornado, or a hurricane that has come through. And many of this figuratively feel like this house. And this is how we feel, because we've been stripped in a lot of ways, stressed and stripped of so many things. And so what are the things that we've been stripped of? One of those, the first one really I think of, is comfort. Because right when we start feeling the pressure of what was taking place, the things that were taking place early on in the year, our comfort of our routines, of our stability in so many things, maybe our job stability, our income stability, regularity of so much around us. And so we're stripped of our comfort. And then we became quickly stripped of our connection. And in the face-to-face time that we have with one another, and we have Zoom, and we have FaceTime, and we have online, and we have so many things.
And I'm tired of all of it.
We know that now.
All right. Yeah. Exhausted by it. Raise your hand if you're exhausted by it. You're no more Zoom. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Keep. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. Stripped of our connection, we have those things, but it's nothing like being there with one another. And so then we get stripped of our control. By so many things that we're told we can do or can't do, and we start feeling like we're losing control as it's stripped away from us. And as these things happen, sometimes we're stripped of our calm as a result. And I can do this from time to time. This can be me when I'm stripped of my comfort and my control. I start feeling stripped and losing my calm. And Carrie tells me that when I'm stripped of comfort and control, that sometimes I resort to the doomsday feeling, like this is the worst thing in the world, and it can't get any worse than this. And then she'll remind me, it's okay, it's just that your favorite restaurant is closed, and we'll find somewhere else to eat.
Indian clay oven. So, India clay oven will open at some point.
You know where it is. I'm stripped of my cuisine.
Right? Oh, okay. Hey, another C.
See what I did there.
Oh.
So then the problem is, thank you, that it can lead us to be stripped of our composure. And this is where it gets serious, because when we're stripped of our composure, we lose our composure, we start to misrepresent the one who laid the foundation of our faith, the one who is the foundation of our church. And many of us, because of this feeling of being stripped in our church, we start becoming concerned for the church and concerned about our faith and Christianity, especially in our country as we're watching the news media and things that are taking place. And we start to say, well, Christians are being persecuted for their faith because of what's going on. And I think we have to be real careful about that, because when I think of persecution, I think back to the early church, the first century martyrs and the things that they suffered in persecution. And a couple weeks ago, I had lunch with one of our missionaries, Chris, that's home on furlough right now. And when I talked to Chris, of course, sitting there at lunch, we can talk freely with one another. But where he is, I can't even say because of his safety and his family. But when they communicate with text messages and emails, he does it in code, frankly, because he can't say the word Christ. He can't say the word gospel or mission or things that may cause the local government there to be on to him. And he could be kicked out of the country, he and his family, or even worse. So we have to be careful, because when we talk about being persecuted, and I think about sitting in the outdoor venue, an Adirondack chair with a shade over my head, sipping my drip coffee, persecution, being asked to sit 6 feet apart from one another, I think we have to be careful about what we say we're being persecuted with right now. And when we are concerned about the church and we are concerned about our faith and the things that are taking place, we know ultimately, big picture, Ted, that the church is safe.
Yeah, and so I want to remind us of something that Jesus said, because I'm hearing pastors and church leaders in their struggle for power. Remember, we don't fight our battles like the world fights battles. And you'll hear this kind of tone and even direct message sometime that, like, if the right person doesn't get elected, we're going to lose the church. If the right person doesn't get elected, the church will be closed and could be closed permanently. And I'm here to tell you that can't happen, period. No matter who's in office. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. I will build my church, and say it with me, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It can't go down. It can't be taken out. And I know there's a lot of emotion and a lot of passion right now with this election. And people are fearing the loss of religious liberty. This is going to get a little bit heated in here, but that's why we brought the calm one into the message today. I want to make it very clear to every Christian in here and watching. If we lose all religious liberty, Christ is still over all. Period. Please don't that was good. I'm just saying it another way. If we lose all religious liberty, the church still stands. Christ is over the church. And today we're going to move from creation to salvation. We're going to move from the foundations of the earth to the foundations of our faith. I need believers in Christ to really understand this as we move into this text. That because there's this fear that if this certain thing in our nation doesn't happen, then our faith is at stake. I don't know. Don't lose your theology in this election season. Don't lose it. I could even put up here, if they take our guns, the church still stands. Any amens on that one, Bass Pro Community Church? No? If they take it all, the church still stands. Why? Because Christ is over the church. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
You lost him with the guns. I'm
sorry. I lost him with the guns. I know.
You were doing good.
But I just think it's a good way to for ministries to raise money, but it's terrible theology.
Yeah.
Terrible theology to scare Christians into certain behaviors. We need to be reminded of who Jesus is and what he says he will do. And he's building the church. He continues to. And I would even say during times like this, the church is built even more. Because the church stands in Christ as though, just go.
Yeah.
Go.
So an appropriate next point, how we respond to being stressed and stripped matters. And
calmer than the 8:30, and too bad you don't have that on tape. You should have seen the 8:30.
We're working through some things. So, because it reveals whom we follow. It reveals who's in charge, right? And when we think about, again, this picture of this house that has been stripped by a storm, as we consider that we virtually have been stripped in 2020, it exposes the inner workings of us individually and of our church This house, we can now see that we couldn't go back one more again, Katie. We can see into the closet and into the kitchen and into the bathrooms, and we can see the inner workings of this house because of the stripping that has taken place. And so you see, it matters because it reveals whom you follow. And conversely, whom you follow determines how you will respond when stressed and stripped. I believe that trying times, more than developing character, they really reveal character. And that's why we talk a lot about Proverbs 4:23. It's the wellspring of life. Everything comes from the heart, and that's what's in there. And the deeper the trial, the more revealing, right? So when we look at the next picture, this other house, this foundation is all that's left. It's been completely stripped, a stronger storm that completely stripped everything. The deeper the trial, the bigger the trial, the more deep the revelation because of that storm that has come along. Now, having said all of that, we're going to get into the scripture in Colossians in chapter 1 and starting in verse 15. And the first point we're going to get into is this, that he is God, as we're talking about Christ overall. He, Christ, is God and over all creation. Overall creation. He is God. We worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-creators. Therefore, he, Christ, is God, and he is over all creation. And so we're going to pick up in verse 15 of chapter 1, which says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created." All things. You've gotten that by now, right? Moving on, "things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." Here we go. "Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, elected officials, appointed officials, you name it, they're all there, right? All things have been created through him and for him." And as we look at this, and I think you know by now, there's a big election taking place this year, not just the presidential election, state elections. And as we talk about, look, the thrones and powers, rulers and authorities, all things been created through him and for him. And it's important for us to understand as we're looking at all of the government changes that may take place, may not take place, that we understand that the government has limited power, okay? The church, as members of God's kingdom, have unlimited power, okay? Now, be careful not to misinterpret that. We don't say that we are the church and we are under the authority of God, therefore, we can do what we want, when we want, and how we want. That's not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, one writer said it well when he said, "When we can obey God and the government, we should. But we understand that we, as followers of Christ, part of the kingdom of God, set under the authority of the one governing authority that is over all of the universe." Over all of the universe. Then we move on to verse 17, which says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the foundation. When the storm strips everything else away, he is what's left." And Ted, when we talk about the universe that he created, we also understand then, therefore, there is a priority that's in the creation.
Yeah, and before I get into that point, I made this point at 8:30. I want to make sure it goes out at the 10. But your passion, and the Lord may call you to leading those discussions and conversations as we move into, you know, who to elect and when we're electing. And some of you, God's given you that calling. You need to pursue that. But in your pursuits of government and whatever he's called you to in that, don't lose your theology. Christ is over all. He's over creation. And I love, after we move from the beauty of Christ being over creation into verse 18, we see that he is over the church. And we're going to see the supremacy of Christ. Christ the reconciler, reconciling man to God. And we pick this up. The big idea is humanity is the priority of creation. So we've been given to be stewards of creation. Men and women, and I know there's a lot of commercials on TV that go against this, and they're wrong, but we're not on the same level as dogs and cats. Can I get an amen on that one? We are over dogs and cats, and all God's been, that's going to be the primary tweet of the morning. We are over dogs and cats. Yes, we know that. Humanity is the priority of creation, and we pick this up in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. So we move from creation, and we're moving now into salvation. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead. He was the first to be raised, which means that's now true for us. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 15, because he is raised, we will be raised. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. theme throughout all of the book of Colossians. For God was pleased to have all the fullness. Now, we're going to introduce this today. We get more into it next week in chapter 2. But there's two things going on in verses 19 and 20, and you start to see the context and the tone of Paul going against the false teaching. And in that day, the false teachers were saying that Jesus was part God, part man. But that is not what we believe. That's not what the scripture teaches. He was fully God and fully man, and that's why you get this text, have all his fullness dwell in him. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. So he's making sure the church understands that. And then verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Some people will use verse 20 to preach or teach universalism. And universalism, the basic idea behind universalism is that all men and all women, every human being will eventually be saved in the end. And that is not true. And that is not what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 1. We read the words of Jesus in Matthew. He uses, for those who do not place faith in Jesus, those who are not reconciled to God through Jesus, those who haven't placed faith alone in Christ alone, Jesus says eternal punishment awaits them. Paul in 2 Thessalonians uses the term eternal destruction. John in Revelation, he says the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. So Paul is not teaching here that in the end, no matter how you lived upon this earth or what decisions you made upon this earth, in the end, you will be spending eternity in heaven. That's not what this is teaching. It says all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So it's not things under the earth. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross, salvation comes by faith alone in Christ alone. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds. Remember this, if you're not a believer in Christ Jesus, the Bible uses terms like a child of darkness, an enemy of God because of your evil behavior. Verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. And so here's the tone you're going to see from chapter 1 to next week with chapter 2. He's telling believers, those who've placed faith in Jesus, you have been reconciled. Next week and the 2 weeks following today, the message is strong warning, and you're going to get don't and avoid. You're going to hear that. Don't be led astray. Don't fall away from the faith. You have been reconciled by Christ's physical body, and the reason this comes back to us through the death, to present you to be holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And here's the word picture we get from what Travis shared and into this. And the first time I heard this in seminary, I remember it was Dr. Charles Dyer. And he brought these two great word pictures, and I want to share them with you so we understand what Paul is talking about, a theme throughout all of Scripture. Creation is the handiwork of God, but salvation required his whole arm. And I love these word pictures, that you see how much you matter to God. In Psalm 8, and if you're following along, you can underline this. In Psalm 8, 3 through 4, when I consider your heavens, and look at this, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, and I think the worship set this morning walked us through this teaching perfectly. What is mankind? When I think about the finger work of God, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. When I think about your creation, what is man's place in all of this? What is man? What is our priority in all of this? And in Isaiah, we get this other great word picture when it's introducing the suffering servant and salvation that comes only through Christ. We read in verse 1, who has believed our message and to whom? And look at this, we've moved from the finger work of God, and I wore long sleeves today for this illustration, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. He has made his arm bare. Please don't hear, he has given you the right to bear arms. That's not what Isaiah 53:1 is talking about at all. It's speaking of salvation, not our Constitution or the Bill of Rights. But he's saying, if creation is the finger work of God, salvation required that he roll up his sleeve and use his whole arm. I love that word picture. That's how much you matter to him. That's how much he cares for you. That was the work required for your salvation and for my salvation. And this leads us to a response.
Yeah, and what we see is the full circle then of creation, the fall, and salvation. And I love it. And we know that from verse 21 that we just read that you and Paul speaking to the Colossians who are followers of Jesus, who once were alienated and hostile in mind. And from that we understand we all have sinned. We all need this reconciliation that Christ offers. We all need the whole arm of God for our salvation. And so with that, we acknowledge it and we understand there should be a response. There should be a response to this salvation that is offered and that what the Lord has done for us in with his full arm, his whole arm. And so we look at then turning to Colossians 1, carrying on in verse 23. And with this, we're going to wrap up through the rest of Colossians chapter 1. And what we're going to see is some of the purposes of the church. We talk a lot about the purposes of the church: worship, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and ministry. And in this, we see there should be a response as followers of Jesus. Starting in verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now rejoice. You see, there's a response. We are to rejoice. And what I am suffering for you, as James says, count it pure joy when we face trials of various kinds. And I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. I have become its servant. We're seeing service here, or ministry, serving one another, serving those outside of our church as a response. By the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope, not despair, hope, there's a response as well, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, yet another response. We see evangelism here. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So you see, there should be a response. One of all of these things: rejoicing, serving, having hope, and proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and because Christ is over the church, that's why I'm sticking with the church. I know we hear of believers who fall away from the church. We're seeing this. They fall away from the faith. We're starting to see this with leaders. Books I've read from Christian leaders who now not only have left the church, they've said, I am no longer a believer. I am no longer a Christian. And this is a time for steadfastness. We're turning a corner. I know I told you when we were talking about illustrations and you're like COVID. I'm like, I'm done with COVID. Completely done. Raise your hand if you are done with COVID. We're just done with it. All right? But he's a doctor. He can't be. He's got a lot of work still left to do with it. But I said, we need steadfastness. We honor those in this church who are struggling with mental health issues. And we care for you. And we know that the mental health issues, emotional issues, physical issues, we care for that. But follower of Jesus, it is time for some mental toughness. It's time for some physical toughness. It's time for some emotional toughness. Because I hear it all the time. Don't leave the church because of hypocrites. Christ is over the church. Stay with it for that reason. Don't leave because of the hypocrites in the church. Say that again. Stay because Christ is over the church. Don't leave because of the hypocrites in the church. There's one leader who has kind of worn me out over the years, that he left his church years ago because he was just tired of the American church. And I would hear his tone and I'm like, yeah, but that's not the tone you pick up from the Apostle Paul. The label in your Bible over this section that Travis just shared says maybe the labor, Paul's labor for the church, Paul striving for the church. That's what we want for you. Strive for the church because Christ is over the church. Right? Labor for the church. Does the church need to be corrected? Yes. Do we need to be disciplined? Yes. Do church leaders need to leave mad? This leader I'm talking about, not only has left the church, now he's leaving the country because he just can't. His tone toward the American church, like, that, you don't get that from Paul. His tone was love for the church. It was care for the church. It's like the church needs to change, and there's some things that need to be changing in the church. But because I love you, I'm sticking with it. Because I love you, I'm sticking with it. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't give up. Resilience is mental, emotional, physical toughness that perseveres through suffering and conflict. Because Christ is over the church and the church can't go down, don't quit. Don't give up. Stick to it. I called Joe after last week's message. So he talked about the foundation of our faith. And I said, Joe, have you ever thought about this? Just that he's iron in my life. I said, Joe, have you ever thought about not only will we stand before the Lord, but we're going to stand next to the apostles. Have you thought about the Christian that's going to stand before the Lord? I gave up on the church. And Paul, I don't know, looks over at him like, what? Yeah, I went there. Nobody said hi to me. I think the apostles are going, step it up. Step it up. Like, we aren't part of cancel culture. We're not part of the timidity that you're seeing and the easily offended. Christ is over the church, and that means we labor and strive for his body. Because it's the body of Christ. And I'll leave you with this. He rolled up his sleeves for us, so I am pleading with you to roll up your sleeves for him. It's not time to quit. It's not time to walk away. It's not time to hear a Christian say something that just hurt your fragility. Step up. Labor for the church. Don't give up on the church. Don't quit. Don't give up on your faith. Stick with it. If changes need to be made, be a part of the change. Don't be a church expert outside of the church. We got plenty of consultants. We got plenty of church experts right now telling church leaders how to do it. We don't need any more of them. We need people rolling up their sleeves for the church, in the church, doing the work of the church. Can I get an amen on that one? Let us strive and labor as Paul did because Christ is over the church. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that as a church, and I, moments in my tone, I know, and words maybe didn't come out just right here at the end. I seek forgiveness for that. I have friends who are consultants and experts and have helped us greatly through seasons. I don't want to be diminishing of what you have called them to do. But we need workers in the church. We need people who are busy about the church and not just, we don't need any more critics. We need workers. We need people passionate about what's going on in the church, rolling up their sleeves. We can do that because you made your arm bare. You rolled up your sleeve. That was the work of salvation. That's what salvation took. And because we are saved and because Christ is over the church, we will continue to strive and labor and work for the body of Christ. I pray for the one who's never placed faith in Jesus. They've never trusted Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day they confess their sins, ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, that they would become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We pray all of this in the good name and the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.